Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss and comment on some topical leadership issues. This week we're focusing on events up to the 5th of October 2018. My name's Nick Scott and I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
Our first story this week is on customer loyalty, and specifically the widespread practice of offering lower prices to new customers than the regular price which is charged to existing customers. This higher price paid by existing customers is known as the loyalty penalty, and Citizens Advice is calling on the regulator, the Competition and Markets Authority, to intervene to stop people being exploited. Kate, does this story flag up the known tensions between seeking new business and satisfying your existing customer base?
We often hear about old customers being neglected at the expense of new. And of course, a new customer is a cause for celebration and often is disproportionately resourced. And of course, there are differences between industries. And I think here what we're talking about particularly are those industries where auto-renewal is a feature of the business offer, that you take out a contract for 12 months and then it's automatically renewed. So you have to actively do something to stop that happening.
Citizens Advice Chief Executive Gillian Guy said, "It's completely unacceptable that consumers are still being ripped off for being loyal to companies they rely on every single day." Their report asserts that 80% of people are paying a significantly higher price for remaining with their existing supplier, and the loyalty penalty amounts to, on average, over £800 per year per household. Does this represent exploitation of inertia amongst existing customers, or is it smart business practice?
It might not always be the case that it's inertia. It might be a deliberate decision on the part of the consumer not to incur search costs, the time it takes looking for a new supplier. So there might be a premium an individual is prepared to pay just not to have to look anywhere else. The extent that it's a problem really depends on the customer churn rates. If there are some industries where a certain percentage tend to change every year, and that the business requires that number to keep going, well, they'll keep doing these offers. I think in the long term, it's building a loyal customer base, hoping that by enticing new customers, you'll want them to stay, because obviously that's where the margins are. So with all of these things, it seems initially, oh, this isn't fair. But if you examine it further, there's a lot more going on than just exploiting people because they won't change supplier.
Well, our second story this week reports on management behaviour at online retailing giant Amazon. According to tech news outlet Gizmodo, Amazon has issued an anti-unionisation training video to managers of grocery chain Whole Foods. "Our business model is built upon speed, innovation and customer obsession, things that are generally not associated with unions. When we lose sight of those critical focus areas, we jeopardize everyone's job security." The video urges staff to look out for the warning signs of unionization. Kate, is it okay for companies to use training videos to convey this type of message?
Well, certainly Amazon's an independent company entitled to create, communicate the sort of culture it wants. So if it wants to use training videos to convey what it considers to be a very important message, it's totally entitled to do that. I think the problem here is the assertions about the unions of being almost anti-speed, anti-innovation and anti-customer focus. I don't know where the evidence comes for that assertion. And of course, they're a huge employer. There will be many people who work for Amazon who are sympathetic to the trade union movement and perhaps want to join a trade union and worry about the sort of signal that this message is sending out. Because you can try and train people, but you can't very easily change their attitudes.
Well, Amazon has something of a checkered past, with previous high-profile media stories reporting on poor pay and employment conditions, unjustified price discrimination, falsified product reviews, amongst others. Yet they seem to go from strength to strength, at least in terms of market capitalization. In regard to leadership and management behavior, does stakeholder management have less significance for market leaders?
In terms of sustainability, a business model that's essentially flawed because some part of the value chain, at least one of the stakeholders, are unhappy or feeling unfairly rewarded, can't last forever. And it would seem here that unless Amazon are able to provide the sort of employment environment that means that they have no trouble recruiting, when there are skill shortages, people want to work for Amazon, they will find in the longer term that their reputation suffers, perhaps not as a retailer, but certainly as an employer.
Our third story this week turns to look at corporate social responsibility, CSR. Unilever chief Paul Polman, renowned as a leading light of CSR, was unexpectedly challenged at a recent panel discussion by US author Anand Giridharadas about a Unilever product still on sale, a sun whitening treatment. Does this ambush of Polman suggest that corporate leaders should examine absolutely every single product line for potential misalignment with their CSR messaging?
The answer to that is, of course, we can't. It's difficult enough for a small organisation to examine every stage of its supply chain. But when you come to a giant like Unilever with over 400 brands, the cost of so doing would be too prohibitive. And of course, one of the underpinning tenets almost of good CSR is trust. And Unilever has to trust its suppliers.
Giridharadas has argued that corporates use CSR as a fig leaf for maintaining the status quo, permitting the winners in the race for global capitalism to help the losers, without challenging the position of the winners to keep on winning. Does that matter? What essential principles should guide leadership and management practice in developing company CSR strategies?
CSR has grown significantly in importance, and those companies that are embedding ethical practices into the very fabric of their organisation are going to be more effective in the long term, more sustainable than those that, which I think Anand is referring to, a somewhat outdated practice of just making a donation or having an annual do good day. The important thing here is the direction of travel, and I don't think anybody would dispute that Unilever frequently recognise receiving awards in this area absolutely going in the right direction. And with so many of these PR disasters, it's not so much that they happen, because of course they will, it's how you deal with them and how you respond to them that's really important.
And finally this week, Time Online highlighted research by University of Essex academic Gillian Sandstrom and US colleagues, published this month, that encourages us to believe people like us more than we think they do on first encounters. Whilst this might be good news from a social perspective, are there lessons for leadership?
There certainly are. We hear so often from our members that they recognise the importance of networking, certainly in terms of your personal brand, in making contacts, but they find it difficult. So research that tells us that it's not as bad as we think, and people are liking us more than we anticipated, expected, or even concluded after an encounter, is really encouraging. So do network, do go out and meet other people. Doesn't have to be outside your organisation. We know it's equally effective for your career to network well within.
Sadly, that's all we've got time for this week. Please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management. And please subscribe to this podcast series.